From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 89, Tom Loves T-Swift.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting. On the web at asmallorange.com.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you want to help us decide what news stories we talk about on the podcast.
And you do.
Be sure to visit our Reddit page. Just go to deemable.com/Reddit. There you can vote stories up or down and submit ones of your own.
And hey, if you enjoy this show and you want us to keep doing it, it's time to put up or shut up. Help support the Deemable Tech. Go to iTunes and leave a review. I don't even care if you leave a 5-star review. Just leave a review. Mm-hmm. Seriously, if we don't have another review by next week, we're just not going to do this show anymore. So go right now to iTunes, pause this, and leave a review. Do it now.
You should do it.
Do it now. All right, everybody, hang on to your butts. It's time for this week's rundown.
In an abrupt about-face, Apple has changed course and decided to pay artists during the free trial period of Apple Music streaming. Apple exec Eddie Q specifically attributed this change of heart to an open letter penned to the company by Taylor Swift, in which she said that she would not be making her album, 1989, available on the streaming service because she felt they were not compensating artists fairly. Since Apple's announcement, several indie labels have announced that they were signing up with Apple Music.
Okay, explain to me. I did not follow this story at all. And we even talked about Apple Music. I didn't realize this was happening. They weren't going to pay people?
No, we talked about the free trial, but yeah, I had no idea that that affected artists.
Yeah, apparently they decided, well, I mean, they're not making money, so they decided that the artists weren't making money.
Oh.
Now, Eddie Q did say that what they had intended to do was negotiate a higher rate of royalties so that the artists would be compensated on the back end.
Oh, so like in the long term, it would pay for itself. I like this theory though. I think I'm going to go to like Walmart and give away stuff and say, listen, I'm giving it away, so obviously I can't pay you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's basically what the model is here, right?
Yeah,
that sounds fantastic. I think we should work with this. Why did Apple think they could do that?
I don't know.
Because they're Apple.
Yeah.
Because they're Apple.
I mean, I feel like we've discovered that Taylor Swift is an amazing force for good in the world.
Yeah. It's true.
Sean Birch, you know, what other things would you like to see Taylor Swift come out and change?
Oh, I think she needs to go after people who say biopic instead of biopic.
that's a good choice.
It would be great if she took care of that.
What's
funny is, like, after this happened, I saw so many people on my Facebook feed positing that this was a huge conspiracy and that Taylor Swift and Apple were working together to kind of drum up some marketing buzz around Apple Music because of how quickly they responded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish that the media and companies worked together as well as people think they do, because there is no sort of collaboration that happens like that in the real world that doesn't look stupid.
Yeah.
Like, whenever companies actually collaborate with artists and stuff, they just look like idiots. Like when Lady Gaga was doing that stuff with BlackBerry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It never actually is this cool.
I don't remember that at all. What did she do?
As well, you shouldn't remember it.
Did she wear a dress made out of BlackBerries?
No, I think
like the phone, though, not like BlackBerries, which would be kind of cool if it was a fruit.
She probably has wore a BlackBerry dress.
Well, she wore that meat dress. So,
I know. It wouldn't be that out of character.
I think it was Lady Gaga. Oh, and Alicia Keys. They were like the creative directors of BlackBerry for like 5 minutes.
Hmm.
And actually, I think Will.i.am was too, our favorite tech leader.
Yes, Will.i.am.
He is known, and if you have no idea what we're talking about, you need to go listen to previous episodes.
Yes.
Because Will.i.am is just
polls.
A tech genius.
He is.
That's all I can say
it's
about
a true
that.
Story.
That's true. Okay, moving on from that. If you've ever sent an email and realized that you didn't attach an attachment.
Oh, yeah.
Or worse, wrote something you never meant to say to the other person, Gmail added a feature this week that you will love. It's called Undo Send.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Undo Send is a bit of a misnomer. What the feature really does is delay sending your message for 5, 10, 20, or 30 seconds to give you the chance to change your mind.
Okay.
All you have to do is just turn on undo send in your Gmail settings. And the next time you send something that you didn't mean to, you can just hit the undo button at the top of the page. Now, the team at Gmail has actually been experimenting with this feature for the past 6 years or so. And you could use it before now if you knew that it existed and knew how their Google Labs section works, right, which not a lot of people do. But they officially made it part of their mail service this week. We should note that this appears to only work for personal Gmail accounts at the moment. So if your employer uses Gmail for your work email, like we use for Deemable Tech and here at WJCT.
Everything I'm involved in uses Google Apps.
You still need to be cautious about what you're sending for the time being.
That's disappointing.
It's wonderful to hear that they're rolling this out as a regular feature. I have used it for so long that I didn't realize it wasn't a regular feature.
Yeah, I actually had never heard about this until this week, and I'm sad that I hadn't, because just thinking about all the times that I've sent stuff without attaching attachments and then had to immediately send another email like, hey, I forgot to attach that PowerPoint file or whatever.
I think it's funny that it's giving you 30 seconds to stop your drunk email. But, you know, there is another Google Labs feature that will detect if you say that something's attached. It'll warn you before, when you hit send, it'll say, you mentioned an attachment, but there's nothing attached to this.
That's perfect.
So yeah, check out Google Labs. There's one in there.
We'll have to do that,
There's good stuff
I'm pretty sure Google Apps supports that lab as well. But yeah, if you have never played with Google Labs and you use Gmail, definitely check it out. That is super cool. I know our audience is probably the right market for that. All right, well, moving on to less awesome news. Okay. So back in October, Disney gave notice to about 250 IT employees that work for Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. And then they laid them off. And to make it worse, they thought that they were being called in to find out that they were getting bonuses because they had just launched some really cool things. Like at Disney World, they launched the new minecart ride, and that has, you know, done.
Wait, there's a minecart ride?
Yes, it's very cool. Snow White or
The Seven Dwarfs.
Tons of fun. Okay. Tons of fun.
I was thinking Minecraft.
Wrong. It actually gets worse than that. After finding out that they were laid off instead of getting bonuses, they found out that they were being given the opportunity to work longer if they stuck around and trained their replacements. The controversial part was their replacements were foreigners that were in the United States on H-1B visas. Now, if you've never heard of an H-1B visa, the purpose of an H-1B visa was to attract IT workers to the United States to, you know, sort of fill the gaps in the tech labor shortages so that we'd have more people working in the tech industry here in the U.S. and to help bolster the economy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't designed or intended to replace American workers with employees who were willing to work for lower wages. So back then, some media outlets did mention it, but it really picked up steam a few weeks ago when they did it again. Disney's ABC television group called in about 35 application developers for a meeting and told them that they were being laid off and the same thing, they were going to be training their replacements, more foreign employees on H-1B visas. However, just last week, Disney did a complete about-face and canceled the layoffs, which is kind of great. Like, awesome. Of course, nobody from Disney would talk to the media on the record, but an anonymous source told Computer World that Disney just wants this to go away right now. And a source at Disney also told Computer World that this change had absolutely nothing to do with the dozens of negative news stories that popped up right after the news came out of the second series of layoffs.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, only the television group people are getting their jobs back, right? The original folks aren't.
Yeah, the parks and resorts folks, they are still not getting their jobs back. The most of them are already gone, actually.
Yeah, I imagine.
They've already trained their replacements.
That seems really shady. H-1B, you can't be bringing people to replace American workers.
And also, they're not permanent. So what'll happen is they get trained over here and then they leave and go back and they basically just outsource it to India or whatever country they happen to be from. So, yeah. Yeah, it kind of stinks. Disney kind of made a PR goof here. A lot of people were very angry. I'm on a couple of Disney forum groups on Facebook, and it just was nonstop. They were talking about it. And apparently our senator is also investigating it, our senator here in Florida.
Oh.
He did a press conference here in Jacksonville about it. Because he wasn't happy about it, too.
You didn't do it in downtown Disney?
Nope,
not that's downtown. That's where I would have had it.
It's called Disney Springs now.
Oh, it is Disney Springs now, yeah. We've got to start our spinoff, Deemable Disney podcast.
I think it's interesting that two huge companies did about faces in the past week. And Disney were like, let's not do that huge thing that nobody likes.
Well, at least, you know, both of those companies, you know, made a choice and stuck to it once they did their about face. On the other hand, there's Microsoft.
That is a great transition, sir.
That was perfect.
You're welcome. Since Windows 10 was first announced, you guys know Windows 10. Microsoft has released a lot of conflicting statements about who exactly would be able to get it for free. Now, from the beginning, they've been consistent about certain things. They've been saying Windows 10 will be a free upgrade to users who have Windows 7 or Windows 8 and 8.1. But for other users, things have been a lot less clear. First, they said that even users without legitimate copies of Windows would be able to upgrade. Then they said they wouldn't.
Right.
And then this week, there was even more confusion. It appeared that Microsoft would be giving away a free copy of Windows 10 to any user who agreed to test it before release. However, it now appears that the situation is more complicated than that. So this is what it looks like the situation is at the moment. And I say this, bearing in mind this is Microsoft, and they keep on changing their minds on this. So, you know, this is this week. All right. So here's what we think. Installing the Windows 10 preview will grant users free access to Windows 10, but only as long as they stay in the preview program. If they leave at any point, their preview copy will eventually expire. In other words, you can get Windows free as long as you agree to be a beta tester of new releases of the operating system forever.
My brain just hurts.
Basically, you stay in the preview program. If at any point you leave the preview program, your preview copy expires.
All right. Let me just say I love reading tech news, and I devour tech news every day. But this story has gotten so convoluted that I've been intentionally avoiding any stories about Windows 10 until we got here tonight so that you could explain this to me.
And now, and
I wish I had read every article because I still am confused. I don't know what's happening. I am annoyed at Microsoft. They got to figure out what's going on and get with their communications.
This is crazy.
It's crazy.
Who is in charge over there?
The other interesting thing that they've been kind of saying is that it appears that they really, really want everybody to have Windows 10. And I'm starting to think that this is very unofficial, very speculative. But I think that what they want to happen is they want you to get Windows 10 one way or another. And some people may not be verified, okay? But you can still have it, all right? They're going to make it very easy to pirate, if I can put it that way, all right?
But
they don't want to make it so that everyone can have it for free because they want corporations to pay for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where they make basically all their money,
right?
That's where they make all their money.
Yeah. Right.
This is all very confusing. I hope that they eventually get in front of this and communicate effectively.
It is very strange, especially coming from a big, you know, company that has a huge marketing department.
Sure.
They haven't been able to get their story straight on this. But
they always have different versions. There's always a pro version and a home version.
Sure.
If they just made the home version free and limited its network capabilities like they've done in the
past. But they're still going to sell a box version that's $199. That's what kind of boggles my mind.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who is that for?
I don't know.
Yeah. Who is going to buy that? Let me see if I can come up with a good transition here.
Okay.
I can't.
All right.
So we'll just launch into this. Facebook researchers say they are working on experimental systems that will allow Facebook to recognize users in photos based off their hairstyle and clothing.
What?
So in other words, it's facial recognition that doesn't actually need to see your face.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
According to the researchers, the new system is accurate 83% of the time.
Whoa.
Far better than the current facial recognition systems, which need clear, full frontal shots of people's faces to recognize them. The researchers described the project as experimental and long-term and said that we shouldn't expect it to be rolled out on the site anytime soon. And that's a good thing considering the controversies that Facebook's facial recognition algorithms have caused in the past.
All right, so this is crazy. So it would recognize based on your hair?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, your hair plus your clothing. It knows you have, you know, red hair, a bushy beard, and you're wearing a plaid shirt. So maybe you're not facing the camera directly. It's like I can make a pretty good guess.
Yeah, what if I shave my beard? Well, I shave my beard all the time.
Why would you do that? Why would you mess with Facebook?
So it would be based on what you're wearing and how your hair is on older pictures of you.
Sure.
So yeah. If you're wearing similar things for like all the pictures.
That's going to be so irritating for you because all of the pictures of Sean Birch's hair are going to show up tagged as you.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, you two will never be able to keep those two separated. That's really irritating.
That's why I keep changing my hairstyle. So Facebook will never be able to recognize me.
You know, this is weird. I mean, I guess it makes sense. 83% of the time, though, that's really high.
I know.
And
I think that's combined with regular facial recognition. I don't think it's saying that, you know. But, you know, it's like, it's saying basically what we do, where we don't just look at somebody's face. We look at context clues, you know. If I see somebody from a distance and I can't get a good focus on their face, I'm like, well, that person's, you know, got the bright blue Converse, so I know it's Sean.
Okay, see, I was thinking more like minute details. Like, I have a cowlick right here on my left side, you know, that's always there no matter how
close I shave. Oh, yeah, Facebook knows about that.
It knows about my cowlick?
Totally.
Dang it.
Mostly because we've told it about it.
Yeah, I had to fill out a weird questionnaire, I gotta tell you what.
I don't even know where to go with this. All right, I'll just move on.
Okay.
You were talking about Microsoft before, a little bit more Microsoft news. So listen, guys, I loved Windows XP as much as the next guy. But when support ended in April of 2013, I moved on.
Did you?
But apparently the Navy just can't say goodbye.
Oh.
According to Computer World, the U.S. Navy has about 100,000 computers still running Windows XP, Windows Server 2003, Office 2003, and Exchange 2003.
Come on, guys.
Yeah. Now, Server 2003 expires this July, but all the others have already expired. And to keep their computers running in tip-top shape with security updates, the Navy is paying Microsoft $9.1 million.
Whew.
Because, you know, back in April of 2013, this is a couple of years ago, they stopped making any security updates for Windows XP.
For free anyways,
right.
Apparently.
Yeah. So you can continue having support if you pay Microsoft for them. And of course, you know, if there was ever a computer that you wanted to be secure, it would probably be a computer in the Navy.
Yeah.
But to be fair to the Navy, according to different market share counts, Windows XP still has approximately 10 to 14% market share.
Yeah, which, that's all the Navy, apparently.
Well, that's true. It might just be the Navy. But either way you look at it, it still puts it over Apple OS X.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Windows XP still has market share
that's
over
crazy.
Apple OS X. Kind of crazy, yeah. It just makes me sad, though, that they're spending all this money to keep them running Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm curious if the cost to benefit works out, you know?
No.
Like, well, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I know from working at the IRS, there are some systems that it doesn't matter that the people who programmed them are literally dead. You have to keep them running,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's the system that it works on, and to move it is going to cost a lot more money.
Sure.
So yeah, it's crazy when you're looking at that scale, you know, that, you know, it'd be cheaper for them to keep it on XP than it would be for them to upgrade to, God forbid, Windows 8.
Yeah. One of the stories that I read about this was their reason for doing so is, you know, they had all of these special programs and systems that they had built on Windows XP.
Sure.
And they would need a lot of time to update those, make new ones to run on Windows 10 or Windows 7 or whatever they would go with. So I guess for the time being, this is the best possible choice for them is to keep paying to use XP.
Yeah, I guess Microsoft's happy to take their money.
Yeah, and it looks like this is going to run through 2017. And this could work out to be around $30 million over the course of the contract. Yeah. But I remember back when just after we started this show, I was still at the IRS, and we were still on Internet Explorer 6.0 at the IRS.
Wow.
And
Wow.
It's because a lot of our programs were web-based, and they were designed for Internet Explorer 6.0, and they would not work on any other browser.
Hmm.
So I got into that, and I actually had to rebuild a lot of those web applications, but... You know, it's a lot of work, and when something's built to run with a certain engine, you have to keep that car running.
It sounds like a lot of federal agencies are kind of lacking in their digital infrastructure. Like,
yeah.
You know, there were all those things about the VA
yep.
a few years ago, like still having these piles of paper at their offices instead of having a digital record.
Yeah.
The IRS, now the Navy.
Well, apparently when Barack Obama took office in 08, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There were like six different operating systems in the White House running all at the same time, like on their network. And they had, I think they had two or three different networks within the White House that weren't even talking to each other. That's why they hired a CTO for the White House, because things were so crazy in the White House. I mean, they still had like old Macs and DOS computers and like all these different equipment running that didn't talk to each other and didn't work together.
So they had one of those Apple Ones, like that woman who dropped it off at the recycling center.
They did sell that one on eBay, the old Apple One at the White House.
Hey, speaking of eBay.
Or they could have just dropped it off at the Smithsonian, either way.
Yeah, you're stepping on my transition.
That was a good segue.
It was a great segue. I'm sorry for ruining it.
Killing it, man.
I apologize.
All right. Major online retailers, including Amazon, eBay, and Alibaba, are banning and removing Confederate flag merchandise from their inventories in the wake of the tragic shooting at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. The man the police have identified as the shooter, Dylan Roof, had posed in several photographs with a Confederate flag. As calls have spread for the flag to be removed from state flags and capitals, retailers have been really quick to distance themselves from it publicly. Actually getting flag merchandise off the shelf may take some time, however. As of the time we recorded this, some Confederate flag merchandise was still available on Amazon, if you know where to search.
Mm-hmm. That's... You know, we're here in the South, so there's a lot of controversy about heritage versus hate with the flag, the Confederate flag. I've been surprised at how quickly it's turned.
It's true.
It's been a conversation ever since I was a kid. I remember, you know, talking about the Confederate flag, but it feels like within a few days, it's gone from being acceptable to being unacceptable.
Mm.
And it was interesting how these companies have responded. I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago, Walmart had no issues with selling the Confederate flag. It was no big deal. They had it on shirts. They actually sold the flag itself. But they quickly changed it around.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's like, it's not like at Amazon, Steve Jobs was up there like, red stamping approval every product that goes through there. He wasn't like, oh, are we selling Confederate flags? All right, that's great. Oh, wait, I changed my mind. You know, it suddenly brought them to their
attention.
That's
a Steve Jobs voice? I didn't know.
What? No, did I say Steve Jobs?
Yeah, I was about to say, why is Steve Jobs working at Amazon?
Who's the Amazon guy?
Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos. Yeah, that's a Steve. That's clearly my Jeff Bezos voice.
I did
voice.
Not think we'd be able to laugh at any point in this story.
That's clearly my Jeff Bezos voice. And I don't know how you guys didn't immediately pick up on that.
Okay. You just heard another conspiracy that Steve Jobs works at Amazon.
Or Steve Jobs is actually Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
That'd be weird.
Oh my gosh, it makes so much sense.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't
at all. There's another similar story about this that's happening. Apparently, Warner Brothers has banned the sale of any Dukes of Hazzard merchandise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you know the car from the show,
the General Lee.
Everyone knows it, apparently. It was a Dodge Charger, and it had the Confederate flag across the top. So they are banning it, and apparently the stores can still sell what they have available, but they're actually like throwing away stuff.
They're not banning Daisy Dukes, are they?
I have not heard any news of banning Daisy Dukes.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So,
all right. Moving on from that to happier news,
happier?
I guess. Yeah, I would say so. Microsoft
news.
We're back to Microsoft.
Yay!
They released full versions of their Office productivity apps, that's Word, Excel, PowerPoint, for the Android operating system this week.
Woohoo!
Yep, our one Android user here.
Yeah, yep.
This comes after about a month of beta versions of these apps being available for Android users. Microsoft said in a statement that they have incorporated a lot of the feedback that they got from users of these early versions into these final ones. These apps won't work on all Android devices, especially older ones, because of there's a lot of memory you have to run these. But they will work on a majority of smartphones and tablets, and they are currently free in the Google Play Store.
Wow.
I'm going to download that right now.
That's fantastic. It's only about 5 years too late, but because as everyone has already moved over to Google Docs, pretty much. I mean, we've been using Office on iOS for a while, and it's fine. I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's kind of limited. It doesn't do everything that the full version does. But, okay. Like, that would have been great, you know, 5 years ago. It would have been awesome. I would have been super excited about it. But now it's kind of like, thanks. That was cool. I would love to see, though, spreadsheets on Excel are worlds better than on Google Sheets. You can do a lot more, and it just feels more real. It feels more functional. It always feels like you're goofing around on a website with Google Sheets, which you are. I mean, you are,
to
actually.
To be fair, you are.
So there's a lot of limitations in what it can do because HTML can only do so much. I would love to see that come to mobile devices more prevalently. But otherwise, yay, Microsoft, good job.
Hey, well, it's free. Get it while it's free.
Yep. Well, Amazon has announced that starting on July 1st, they will begin paying authors in the... I'm just going to... No segue at all.
Well, I mean, before you start, we should have Tom do his spot-on Jeff Bezos impression.
Oh, yes, please
since
do.
Since we're talking about Amazon again.
Hey, guy. I don't know what it was.
Okay, there you go. Excellent. All right, so Amazon has announced that starting on July 1st, they will begin paying authors in the Kindle Unlimited and Kindle Lending Library programs by the number of pages read, rather than simply when their book is downloaded. To keep the system from being gamed by large fonts, Amazon has introduced the Kindle Edition Normalized Page Count, or KEMPC.
KenPC?
I like that. I like KenPC, which is a formula that will attempt to standardize page counts for all books. So this is kind of like similar to what was happening with Apple in our first story. It was basically authors were getting paid to when anyone downloaded a book.
Right.
And now Amazon's basically going cheap on them.
I think the rule was specifically you had to... You got paid when somebody downloaded your book if you're an author on Kindle Unlimited. And to back up, Kindle Unlimited is the program that's basically like streaming for books. You pay a certain amount a month or you're a member of Amazon Prime, and then you can download all the books you want. So authors involved in that program get paid or formally got paid when somebody downloaded a book and then got to, I think, 10% or something.
Okay.
All right. So now they're basically, but that didn't take into account any length of book, right?
Okay.
Short book, long book, the author got paid the same amount.
Gotcha.
So I guess now they're saying, hey, you know, if you wrote War and Peace and somebody, and a lot of people are finishing War and Peace, then you should get paid more than some guy who cranked out a 20-page book and nobody's finishing it.
I see.
All right. So I wonder if this would translate to like Spotify. If I write a symphony and somebody listens to the symphony, I would get paid more than T-Swift.
In theory. But again, you got to get people to get all the way to the end of your symphony.
Right. Or, you know, the whole thing.
Right. You know, if you write a super long book and nobody is getting anywhere in it, then it doesn't matter.
I haven't read about this. I mean, have the authors gotten really upset about this, or
so
do they think this
is
fair?
It's so unusual. I think the people are going, huh?
It sounds fair.
It sounds fair.
Yeah. I mean, because they're paying a flat rate. So,
yeah.
I mean, Amazon is paying a flat or is getting a flat rate. So it only makes sense that they only have to pay what they use,
right,
so to speak.
Yeah, they basically, I think my understanding is they have like a big pool of money that they dole out to all the authors in the program every month.
They have a big pool of money.
Jeff Bezos that they jump is into swimming in this pool.
And swim through.
like Scrooge McDuck, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
I really want somebody to figure out how the pool of money would actually work. Like, because obviously you can't swim. Well, you can't because you'd die.
Yeah.
You'd break your bones.
Well, yeah, as soon as
but I want someone to figure
he's
out.
Swimming in doll, you know, he's swimming in paper money.
Well, yeah, it would have to be paper money.
No, it's still solid. When you hit it, you're going to.
Paper money.
You just got to make sure it's not. You can't have too much money, I guess. It'd have to be.
Crumpled up might work.
That
might
work.
It'd be like a ball pit, you know, because you'd go into it.
We just need. Ball money.
Oh, ball money.
Yeah.
That's send us lots of money, guys, and we will try it. We'll fill a swimming
wrap
pool
balls
and test
with
this
it
ourselves.
And make a ball pit out of money. Or if there was...
What if there's snakes in the bottom of the ball pit? That's what I'm always afraid of.
If there was liquid money, then we could swim in it.
Oh.
So basically, we need latinum. We need latinum.
Is that a Star Trek reference?
What is that?
Really? I'm the only person in this room that knows what latinum is. Gold press latinum?
That's a Star Trek reference.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know it was liquid.
I am revoking both of your nerd cards right now. Well, on that note, let's wrap up this show. Hey folks, if you want to check out any of the topics that we talked about, we've got links in the show notes. Go check them out at deemable.com. And if you have a suggestion or just have a comment for the show, give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 1-888-972-9868. Or you can always send an email to feedback@deemable.com. And don't forget to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show. Go to our subreddit page and submit a story, and you can vote other stories up or down or left or right. No, I don't think you can do that.
They don't.
Just up or down. Deemable.com/reddit will take you there. And don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes.
Yes.
Reviews,
go to iTunes,
reviews,
search for Deemable, and leave a review on Deemable Tech. Or you can leave one on Ask Deemable Tech, too. You can leave one on both.
You don't have to sing a song like Tom was just doing.
No.
Reviews.
We love 5-star reviews. We like 4-star reviews.
5 stars.
We're kind of okay with 3-star reviews.
Don't
2-star, we're not excited about. And 1, we hate you.
Just be honest.
Be honest.
That's all we care about.
Honestly, I'd love to see 10 1-star reviews next week. Get on there and do it. All right. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening.
Check, check, check.
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 Check. Republic.
Czech Republic. Czech Republic.
Czech mix. Czech mix.
Slovakia.
This is how we might check.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.